second book of our Bible, Exodus chapter 6. Verse 28, giving glory, honor, and praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to all of our ministers and deacons, to everyone that is on the call this morning. I do count it a blessing to again have the opportunity to teach and proclaim the Word of God. Again, if you would, in your Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 6. And we're going to start reading at verse 28 of this chapter, and then we're going to go on through to verse 5 of the following chapter. And I will be reading from the New King James Version, looking at verse 28 of chapter 6 of Exodus. It reads, "And it came to pass on the day the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say to you. But Moses said before the Lord, Behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh heed me? Going into chapter 7 and verse 1, it says, So the Lord said to Moses, See, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not heed you, so that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people and the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. Then Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded them, so they did. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh." May God bless the reading of his word. Just want us to look again at a couple of verses that we read back in chapter 6, verses 28 and 29 of chapter 6, which says, "And it came to pass on the day the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say to you." And then when we go down to verse 1 and 2 of chapter 7, it also says, "So the Lord said to Moses, See, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of his land." And so we just want to, for a short time this morning, focus on these verses and all that we have read using the simple, very simple sermon title, Hear the Word and Speak the Word. Hear the Word and Speak the Word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us, Lord God, that we can hear your word, but that you do not want it to just remain with us, but that you want us to be dispersers of your word, to spread your word, to speak your word, to share your word. And so, Lord God, help us to hear and help us to speak. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. So we're here in the very first part of the book of Exodus. Now, in the last chapters of the previous book, the book of Genesis, you can read how the Israelites all ended up in Egypt. We will not turn there, but there you can read how Joseph's brothers had sold Joseph into slavery and how Joseph eventually ended up in Egypt. And while Joseph's brothers remained with their father Jacob, who had been misled into thinking that his son Joseph was dead, Joseph was going through trials and tribulations of his own in Egypt. But ultimately, Joseph ended up, by the grace of God, becoming the chief administrative officer of Egypt. Only Pharaoh, who was the king of Egypt, the one that had more power than Joseph in Egypt. The Bible says back in Genesis that a famine in the land ultimately brought Joseph's brothers into Egypt, and that Joseph used that opportunity for them to go and bring their father Jacob as well. You may know the story. Ultimately, Joseph forgave his brothers for selling him into slavery, and Joseph settled his father Jacob and his brothers with him in Egypt and gave them property in the best part of the land there in Egypt. And when you come into the book of Exodus out of Genesis, the Bible says back in the very first chapter of Exodus, we're not going to turn there, but it says that there arose a new king, a new Pharaoh, that arose that did not know Joseph, because Joseph in that generation had died. And now the Israelites, also known as the Hebrews, they had gone from being favored by one Pharaoh to being feared by this later Pharaoh. The Bible says that the Israelites were made slaves by Pharaoh and that they were forced to work for Pharaoh on whatever building projects that he desired. But the Bible says that the more the Israelites were afflicted, the more they multiplied in population. And because God had blessed the Israelites with rapid population growth there in Egypt, Pharaoh had begun to fear the increasing number of Israelites living there in Egypt. And so Pharaoh ordered the death of all the male children born to Israelite women. Pharaoh said, keep the Israelite female babies alive, but kill all the Israelite male babies. And so then, out of all of this, comes Moses in Exodus chapter 2, a little Israelite male baby boy, or male baby. He was placed in a basket by his mother with the faith that he would not be killed. And you probably know the story of how he was found by the daughter of Pharaoh and all of that. And although Moses was an Israelite male, Moses was raised in Egypt's royal family as the adopted grandson of Pharaoh. But when Moses was about 40 years old, he killed an Egyptian man he found beating an Israelite worker. The murder eventually came to Pharaoh's attention, and Moses, he fled Egypt for safety. And so Moses fled. He became a shepherd in a place called Midian, which was several hundred miles east of Egypt. Moses married one of the daughters of the priest of Midian and had a son. And Moses stayed in Midian and away from Egypt for about 40 years. But over those 40 years, two important things happened. The first thing was that Pharaoh in Egypt died and his son took his place as the new Pharaoh. So the Pharaoh that had been seeking to bring Moses to justice was dead. But then the second thing was that God had not forgotten and had remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, how he would bring their descendants into a land of their own to worship him. And now God was ready to put his plans in action to free his people from the Egyptians that were oppressing them. And Moses was going to play the key role. And so starting in Exodus chapter 2, God called Moses from a burning bush. And from chapter 2 up to chapter 5 here in Exodus, the Bible talks about the call of Moses and his brother Aaron, about how they were to go and confront this new Pharaoh for the first time. And in chapter 5, Moses and Aaron, they confronted Pharaoh for the first time. They demanded that Pharaoh let the people go that they may worship God. But rather than let them go, the Pharaoh told Moses and Aaron in today's language to get out of my face. And then Pharaoh made it harder on the Israelites, forcing them to produce more bricks with less supply. And rather than praise Moses and Aaron, the Israelites became angry with Moses and Aaron for making their slavery harder on them. They wanted Moses and Aaron to get somewhere and sit down. And that brings us to our text this morning. And that brings us to the sermon title this morning, Hear the Word and Speak the Word. Because now we are at a point in the book of Exodus where the Israelites had remained in Egypt for some generations, 400 years. And And the Israelites had come to consider Egypt their home, even though the covenant that God had with the Israelites was to give them a land of their own where they could worship him. But these Israelites considered Egypt their home. And there was some reason for this. When you look at all of the nations of Africa and the Middle East, the Egyptians have always stood out because of their advanced civilization. Even to this day, historians and engineers and architects and scientists and medical doctors are amazed at how the ancient Egyptians built the pyramids, how the Egyptians contributed to mathematics with geometry, how the Egyptian physicians were the first to perform operations. In many ways, the Egyptians have produced some of the best contributions to civilization that Africa and the Middle East has to offer. And so even though they were in slavery, the Israelites could not imagine a life outside of Egypt. But the ancient Egyptians were polytheistic, or put in another way, they believed in many gods. They called their kings the Pharaoh, but what you may or may not know is that the ancient Egyptians believed that their pharaohs were divine descendants of the Egyptian so-called gods of Osiris and Isis. Osiris was the so-called Egyptian god of fertility and the afterlife, and Isis was the so-called Egyptian goddess over magic and healing. And the Egyptians believed that their son, the son of Osiris and Isis, whose name was Horus, that he had become a pharaoh, and that from this Egyptian god Horus that all the pharaohs descended. And so the Egyptians believed that their pharaohs were divine and had powers with their many Egyptian gods. The Egyptians believed that only the pharaoh could enter into their Egyptian temples and commune with the spirits of their Egyptian gods. Only the pharaoh could appoint the priests to serve the Egyptian gods in their temples. And when a pharaoh died, the Egyptians believed that the pharaoh would unite with the Egyptian gods after death and would continue to help his people from the afterlife. Not only was the pharaoh their link to the so-called Egyptian gods, but the pharaoh was also the commander-in-chief of the army, and he was the highest judge in the land. So all Egyptian life revolved around Pharaoh. Now, this background on Pharaoh's place in Egyptian life is important to put in context to what Moses would be asked to do, to go to Pharaoh and demand that he let God's people go. All of this is important to put in context to verse 1 of chapter 7, where it says, "See, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron, your brother, shall be your prophet." Because God was commanding Moses to go to a king, but not just to any king, but a king who believed he was divine. And not just any king who believed that he was divine, but a king whose whole nation of people also believed that he was divine. And Pharaoh was not going to let the Israelites go just because a couple of 80-year-old Israelite men came and told him to do so. God knew that this Pharaoh, who, though he thought was a god, that he was going to reject Moses, but that he would only respect Moses if he could also view him as a god. Or let me kind of put it again this way. God knew that this Pharaoh, who thought that he was a god, was only going to respect Moses if he could view him as a god. And God was saying in verse 1 of chapter 7, "See, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet." Pharaoh only understood power. And it reminds me of how Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. defined real power as the ability to make someone say yes when they really want to say no. And this man, this Pharaoh, who believed that he was a divine figure, he was about to learn that there was a God that sits high and looks low, a God that knew how to make Pharaoh say yes when he really wanted to say no. Verse verse 2 of chapter 7 says, "You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of his land." Now the rest of the story is well known. Moses and his brother Aaron, they went to Pharaoh in God's name and demanded that he let the people go to worship their God. Pharaoh was stubborn. He refused time after time, and 10 plagues of God's judgment fell upon the people of Egypt and their land. The final plague being the slaying of the firstborn of every Egyptian family. But you know, too often we focus on the plagues and on the power of the plagues, but God did not send Moses to impose the plagues. The plagues came only because of Pharaoh not paying heed to the word. God sent Moses to speak his word. And that gives us insight on the power of the word, how taking heed to the word of God can allow people to avoid much hardship, to avoid much pain. Because when you do your best to obey the word of God, you can rest assured that even though you will have some trials and tribulations in this life, that there is so much more pain and heartache that you will have avoided because you heard the word and obeyed the word. But back to Pharaoh here in Exodus chapter 6 and 7. Remember that Pharaoh, he represented a divine figure to the people of Egypt. This so-called God in his own mind needed to realize that there was a power that he could not overcome. And God was not trying to get over a message to just Pharaoh, but tried to get a message over to all the Egyptians that these so-called gods that you believe in are not true and living gods. It's in effect God saying, "Where is your so-called God Osiris and Isis and the others?" When because of your failing to heed the word of God, that frogs are everywhere. When lice is everywhere, when flies are everywhere. These are the plagues that they ended up having because they failed to heed the word of God. Where is your so-called God Osiris and Isis and the other ones when you have dismissed the word of God and now your livestock is dead, when hail has rained down and has destroyed everything, when all the water has turned to blood, and when your firstborn have all died off? Where are your so-called gods Osiris and Isis and the others now? God was letting them know through these plagues that he was the true and living God, and that they didn't know that they needed to know. God was letting them know that they could have avoided all of this if they would have just taken heed to the word of God. And it was a simple word that was delivered to Pharaoh each and every time before each plague. Let my people go. Now, I'll encourage you to go and read chapter 7 through 12 sometime on your own, because to me, the real trip is that Moses and Aaron would tell Pharaoh exactly what would happen in advance if they did not pay heed to the word of God. But when it was all said and done, Moses just needed to hear the word and then speak the word. And that's what verse 2 of chapter 7 says about Moses. You shall speak all that I command you. In other words, hear the word and speak the word. That's what God required Moses to do. Hear the word and speak the word. It was like God said to Moses, in effect, "Don't worry about the demonstration of power, Moses. I've got that covered. You just hear the word that I tell you and then speak the word when I tell you to speak it." And that's what we are called to do today. Hear the word and then speak the word that we've been called to speak. And then let God's power do the rest. We just have to hear the word and then speak the word. Speak the word of God to your spouse. Speak the word of God to your brothers and sisters. Speak the word of God to your sons and daughters. Speak the word of God to your family and friends. Speak the word to our leaders in business and government. Speak the word to our community. Speak the word to the world. Because someone needs to hear the word that says that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Someone needs to hear the word that says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Someone needs to hear the word of God, which says, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so as I move to my conclusion, Pharaoh would eventually release the Israelites, but not before Moses had confronted him numerous times with God's message, with God's word. God is all-powerful, and he expects, he demands obedience to his will, and his will is revealed through his word. And that's the power of the word, because when people tell God no, when people reject the word, they must face the consequences that come with that decision. Pharaoh and all of the Egyptians learned the hard way. The good news is that in the process, the Israelites and the entire world got to see God's power on display. Because the same power that works against those that reject God's word, that's the same power that works on behalf of and for the benefit of those that obey God's word. It's just that simple. Moses' life was split into three periods, each of 40 years. The first 40 years, he was living as an Egyptian, in effect, from his birth until when he fled to Midian. Second 40 years of his life, he spent in exile. And the last 40 years, he spent leading the children of Israel out of Egypt and around the wilderness. But once Moses came into his own purpose, his own call, to hear the word and to speak the call, Moses did just that until almost the very end. Because sadly, near the end of his life, Moses made a grave mistake. Moses chose to put signs and wonders over the word of God. Moses chose to put the demonstration of power over the word of God. Because in the book of Numbers, chapter 20, when the Israelites in the wilderness began complaining once again about not having any water to drink, God commanded Moses to approach this large rock and told Moses, speak to the rock so that it would produce water for the people. Speak to the rock, Moses. That's all you need to do. But Moses was angry. Rather than speak to the rock, Moses spoke to the people. He called the people rebels. And then he asked, must we bring water out of this rock? And rather than speak to the rock like God told him to do, Moses instead chose to hit the rock twice with his rod. Water flowed from the rock. But for this reason, God barred Moses from entering into the promised land. Because Moses heard the word, was instructed to speak the word, and chose not to speak. Moses chose to put signs and wonders over the word of God. Moses chose to put a demonstration of power over the word of God. And God was trying to show his people through Moses the power of the word. Moses was intent, though, on trying to show people that he had the power. But God wants us to hear the word, speak the word, and then let God take care of the power behind the word. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to hear those words on judgment day, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, because I heard the word, was instructed to speak the word, and chose not to speak the word. Or because I failed to let God take care of the power behind the word. So as we leave today's call and not God's presence, let us all leave this call determined to seek to hear the word and then speak the word. And then let God take care of the power behind the word. Now, yes, we do have work to do, and we do have actions that we are required to do, but they should never take precedence over first hearing the word and then speaking the word. And then whatever work we are required to do comes after first hearing the word, then speaking the word. We read one day a command to preach the gospel to all creation. That's a command from our Lord Jesus for us today and tomorrow. And until our ability to hear the word and speak the word has come to an end. And this word, which we call the gospel, is a gospel of reconciliation. This word, this gospel, is a gospel that says that all have sinned and deserve God's judgment. This word, this gospel, is a gospel that says that God sent his only son, Jesus, to satisfy that judgment that was pronounced on those that failed to believe in him. This word, this gospel, is a gospel that says that Jesus loved us so much that he died for our sins. He took on the punishment that we deserved. He was buried and rose from the dead, according to the Bible. And this gospel, this word that we must hear and speak, is a gospel that says that if you truly believe in your heart and declare that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved from judgment and spend eternity with God in heaven. Jesus said at the end of the Gospel of John, chapter 12, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life." And then Jesus ended it by saying this, "Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." So as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ that desire to walk in his will and walk in his way, let us leave this call determined to hear the word, speak the word, and let God take care of the power behind the word. May God bless the preaching and teaching of his word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that you have allowed us to hear your word, to receive your word. And then you have given us a command that with that word that we have heard, that we have received, Lord, that you want us to speak that word, to share that word, to communicate that word. And help us, Lord God, to do just that, to hear the word and speak the word. I pray that each and every one of us on this call, Lord God, do just that. As you have given us the command, Lord God, help us all to do just that. And help us to use the tools that are available to us to do it. You've given us a mouth. You've also given us, Lord God, things of relevant value like social media, all of these things, Lord God. You have given us a means by which we can share your word. So help us to do just that, Lord God. Help us, Lord, to know when to speak and what to speak, knowing, O God, that you will supply the power behind the word. And so we thank you, Lord God. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.